Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome to the Azure Podcast. My name is Evan Basilik, and this is episode 151. We've got our special guest, Sarah Frender, here to talk about Azure Security Center. So as you might have noticed, this is not our fearless leader, Sujit, here to do the intro. This is just Kale and I today. So we're gonna see if we can make him proud, even though he's not here. So I guess getting started, Kale, you want to talk about some of the new things that were released this week? We actually had a pretty good list this week.
Yeah, there's quite a big list of things that were kind of GA'd, released. I mean, we can run through them quickly, and then we had some other kind of news. The Azure Active Directory Domain Services is GA. So that's, for those of you know, we have Azure Active Directory, which is a, you can think of it more as like a PaaS service where you don't manage the infrastructure. Domain services is kind of complementary in a way that it can expose, LDAP and the domain join aspects that don't exist with Azure Active Directory. So those who are looking for those features.
Yeah, some of my colleagues, so the team that I'm spending all my time with these days actually supports Azure Active Directory domain services, and we kind of jokingly call it, you know, DC as a service, right? You get a lot of the functionality of a DC without some of the management hassles of a DC. That's a good one. We also got some new Azure HD Insight security features coming in. Some additional authentication, auditing, authorization stuff, and also integrating with, going along with Azure Active Directory Domain Services, but integrating with Domain Services and Azure Active Directory. Right? We saw this with SQL a little ways back, and now we see it with HD Insight.
The other service here, Evan, that stood out to me that I don't have a lot of experience with, it's one of the few that are here that are like kind of new. This kind of snuck up on me, the Azure Analysis Services. So we have all kind of different analytics and BI platforms in this, and this appears to be something that's based on our, the SQL engine analysis services that we've had from years past, even up to 2016.
Yeah, no, this is really interesting because we were talking about this back when I was on the SQL Azure team way back. And so, it was a hard problem, right, to do analysis services in a PaaS type world. So I'm really excited to see how this actually lands, because managing and dealing with an analysis services server is tough, right? But the functionality is absolutely necessary if you need it.
Yeah, and to be clear, that's a preview. It's a public preview, not a GA or anything.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about Cognitive Services a couple weeks back. The translator is now generally available. So that feature, we're starting to see features GA out of that area.
Yeah, another SQL thing that popped in here a little further down here is the Azure SQL Database Long-Term Retention, which is also in public preview. So to my understanding, that increases it from somewhere around 30-some days to 10 years, which is
that's
pretty
amazing.
Big. Yeah.
I can't remember last time I thought about backups in the context of years, but I guess if you've got compliance or regulatory reasons, right, there are certainly some people that need to.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it looks like we've got some additional features for Visual Studio Online, code search, and some test extensions are now free. Is Visual Studio Online and Visual Studio Team Services? Team Services used to be the on-premises version.
That's the name now. It used to be called VSO, Visual Studio Online. Now it's just called Visual Studio Team Services.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Missed that one. Anything else in here you want to call out? Well, crap, there's a blockchain.
Of course, we have a blockchain. Just came out hot off the press today from the engineering group. So they basically, if you've looked at, and we talked about these in past podcasts, but we had a template out there in GitHub that allowed you to basically spin up an Ethereum consortium, which is a kind of a network version of a blockchain. And it's now an Azure Marketplace. So
awesome.
That's pretty cool that you can just go in there and click through it instead of having to go out to GitHub. A little bit more, better interface.
Yeah, we're going to have to set a goal for you here, Kale. Like, you either have to go, like, you know, four blockchain mentions a podcast, or we're going to have to go the other way and say, you can't mention the word blockchain for a month.
Yeah,
you can do it.
We should try that, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, well, cool. No, this is some great things, and we'll put all this in the on the website as well. So at this point, I'd like to transition over to our special guest. You know, as I mentioned before, we've got Sarah Fender here from the Azure Security team. Sarah, could you give us kind of a brief introduction to who you are and what you do here at Microsoft?
Sure. So, Sarah Fender, I am a program manager working on the Azure Security Center engineering team. And actually, in my particular role, I look across two services, Azure Security Center and sort of its sister service, the Operations Management Suite security solution as well.
So not OMS itself, but a subset of OMS.
Yeah, the security capabilities. So I'm kind of looking across Microsoft Data Center security solutions, and the two primary components of that today are the Azure Security Center and the OMS security solution.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I keep seeing more and more mention of Azure Security Center. I know some of the security support folks, and they're starting to see these cases coming in, starting to see more features. Seems like this is something we've really kind of ramped into another gear over the last, maybe 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, so the service became generally available over the summer, and we just continue to innovate and add new features and functionality. I know lots of teams across Azure are doing that. I was listening to you guys kind of talk through all of the new things at the beginning of the podcast. It's exciting to see that level of innovation that's really critical in the security space in particular. And so, we're adding new features, but we're also continuing to enhance and add new detection algorithms and analytics in response to changes that we're seeing in the threat landscape.
Okay. So let's say I'm a customer, and actually in this case I am a customer of Azure as well as a support engineer for it. So I have a VM running in Azure. What's the difference between running, what the Defender that comes in, comes with Windows. Actually, I don't think we call it Defender anymore. Versus adding on Azure Security Center. Like, what's the pros and cons, or what would drive me towards Azure Security Center?
Yeah, so Azure Security Center provides you with this central security management and monitoring solution. So it's looking across not just your virtual machines, but other kinds of resources that you have running in Azure. So things like your Azure SQL databases or storage accounts or app service environments. And so it's looking across a broader set of Azure resources. Now, we do have a lot of capabilities around virtual machines in Azure, and so we are helping you to make sure you have the right security controls in place, that that you have the appropriate security updates applied, that you don't have vulnerable OS configurations, that you have encryption enabled if that's a requirement for your organization. So we're helping you to make sure you're in a secure state, and that you stay that way even as you've got new VMs that are spinning up or some that are coming offline. So we're kind of constantly evaluating the security state of your VMs and your other kinds of resources to help you make sure that you've got the right security controls in place. And then Security Center is also constantly monitoring things like network traffic, events that are happening on the virtual machine or that we're getting from SQL database or other sources to detect threats. And so Defender or other anti-malware solutions are certainly doing that within the VM, and they're looking for known malware signatures. And in fact, we integrate with a number of anti-malware solutions so that you can see those alerts in the context of Security Center as well. So that's a really important part of monitoring for threat detection, but it's not enough on its own. Right. So we're also doing behavioral analysis, so we're looking for particular patterns of malicious activity. We are using machine learning to detect anomalous activity. And again, we're doing that at the VM level, but also at the network level. So we're able to detect attacks, inbound or outbound communication to known malicious IP addresses and other kinds of attacks that wouldn't be so visible just from within the construct of the VM itself.
Right. So it sounds like you kind of jumped into what I was going to ask. Is it sounds like you're in the resources, right? You're looking at how SQL database is configured and how the VMs are configured, but you're also looking at the kind of the infrastructure around it, network security groups, You know, traffic coming into my VNet, things like that as well.
Absolutely, and you really need to be looking across those different dimensions to effectively detect today's attacks. And we also, you know, have this unique ability to, we're kind of applying some analysis on top of these different kinds of signals and alerts and putting those together into one single incident. So we don't just give you standalone alerts, but we put those together so you can see, oh, well, this attack started with an inbound RDP brute force attack. And then we see that a suspicious process was being executed on VM1. And then we see that same process being executed on VM2. Oh. And then we see that the attacker tried to use those compromised VMs to execute a spam attack. And so we're looking across these different dimensions and putting it all together for customers.
So like telling that whole story of what's going on then?
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, a lot of companies really struggle. They get, you know, these independent alerts or signals from different sources, but figuring out how to effectively triage those which are true positives or false positives and investigate and connect those dots, that can take a really long time and a lot of security expertise. And so we're really trying to help customers with that challenge by, you know, effectively detecting threats and then helping them understand, you know, what's happened so they can quickly remediate.
So is this something, the question I was thinking about was, it sounds like there's a lot of kind of analytics and some knowledge that we kind of have inside Microsoft to help diagnose or be able to detect these malicious things that are going to happen. Is there also, so is that the primary way that we're doing detection, or is there also ways for either partners or the customers themselves to kind of influence what's checked? Like if they're really paranoid about a certain thing, is there ways for them to influence that system, or is this kind of, you just kind of turn this on and set it and forget it kind of thing?
Yeah, so today there's not a capability inside of Azure Security Center for customers to define, let's say, their own indicators of compromise. There's just a built-in set of capabilities that enable that. And that is available today in OMS Security, which kind of looks across on-prem and Azure resources. But inside of Azure Security Center today, we're working just with the defined analytics that are built into the platform. It's something we'll look at expanding, and we're also we'll be strengthening the ties between the Azure Security Center and OMS Security Solution over time, and so we may see some additional capabilities light up there as a result of that integration.
But you mentioned also like the partner landscape, so if there's a, I don't know, I'm thinking about like maybe Trend Micro or somebody who does like antivirus or something like that, like these can kind of, you guys can kind of integrate with those?
We do, in a couple of different dimensions. First, we help you to understand if you have anti-malware endpoint protection on all of your virtual machines, or you have an exposed web endpoint where a web application firewall would add some security value. And so we discover where these partner solutions are recommended based on the policies you've set. And then we help you to quickly deploy them. So you can enable anti-malware on all of your virtual machines at one time. You can pretty quickly spin up a web application firewall appliance using the marketplace. But then Security Center will help you kind of wire it up in your Azure environment. So that is, you know, helping you to deploy these security solutions from partners is one aspect. But then equally important is integrating alerts and events from these solutions. I guess you can see all of your security alerts in one place. And then we apply this concept of fusion to partner alerts as well. So the attack example I gave you a minute ago started with RDP brute force. It may have started with the SQL injection attempt, which was in fact detected and blocked by the WAF. So that information is useful to have in the context of a fused incident as well.
Neat. So really you kind of cover that whole spectrum then at that point. What about Windows or non-Microsoft? So open source, Linux, VMs, do you guys cover those as well?
We do. So we're just slightly further ahead on the Windows side of things, but our Linux capabilities are catching up quickly, and we expect to be at parity in the near future.
Wow, neat. So here's the challenge. Can you do SQL Server on Linux?
We're working on it. So we are actually looking for some SQL inbound attacks these days, and we have a plan to light up some additional configuration monitoring of SQL running inside VMs, not just SQL databases,
yeah.
Or nice. Azure SQL databases.
Nice.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So this sounds a lot about ISVMs. What about on the PaaS front? Like, what's kind of covered there today, other than, you know, obvious things like network and those kind of things? But, like, is something like storage, like, do you detect things happening there, or any other kind of PaaS-y type services we have in Azure?
PaaS-y.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're working on it. There's a lot of them. And as we know, they're adding new ones all the time.
Yes.
Yes, so it'll be an ongoing effort on our part to add and support new services as they come online. But that certainly is our intent. So today we've got virtual machines we talked about, the virtual networking, so monitoring for network security groups and network appliances. We are looking at SQL database monitoring for auditing and threat detection and encryption. Monitoring storage accounts for encryption, and I'm missing something. App service environment. So if you're running a web app inside an app service environment, we'll make similar recommendations for web application firewall as we would if you are running an app inside of if you were running a website inside of an ISVM.
Nice. This is really cool. How do you, I guess the other question would be, is like the cost of this. Is there a cost associated with this, using this service?
So one of the greatest things about Security Center, in my view, is that a lot of the capabilities that help you get and stay in a secure state are available at no additional cost as a benefit of using Azure. You know, part of our mission is really to help make Azure the most secure, most trusted platform. And so by providing capabilities that help our customers to be secure, that sort of helps to fulfill that mission. And so with all of the, you can set security policies, you can monitor the security state of your assets, you can see recommendations for how to improve your security, and that's all of the stuff that we just talked about, virtual machines, networks, all of that stuff, and integrate or connect partner solutions. You can do all of that as for free as part of the free service. You can do that for free. And then there's a standard version as well that lights up the advanced detection capabilities that I mentioned earlier. So certainly add some additional security monitoring and threat detection on top of the free capabilities.
So really then, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that you'd be crazy not to leverage kind of the baseline stuff.
I keep telling everyone, like, just go launch Security Center. It takes zero setup. Like, it literally takes, you just have to click the Security Center button in the favorites bar and see what insights you get. We often find that customers discover some security vulnerabilities that they didn't have visibility into before. They even our own MSIT had that experience. You think you've got anti-malware deployed on all of your nodes, but you realize, in fact that wasn't the case. Or, you thought your systems were all patched, but they weren't. Or you thought you didn't have any exposed endpoints. That's another common scenario, but it turns out that you do. So yeah, I mean, there's just it's zero effort and zero cost. So I definitely encourage everybody to give that a spin. And then for the standard version, there's a 90-day free trial. So also encourage you guys encourage folks to just turn it on for 90 days, even if you decide not to stick with the standard version, and see what kinds of things get surfaced. Maybe there's some insights there that you can then use to harden your environment, even again if you decide not to stick with the standard version in the long run.
Yeah, I just added to my to-do list to go turn on Security Center for my couple VMs that I run personally up in Azure.
Sweet, I've got a convert.
Yeah. So the one of the things, so in support, right, I work with a lot of enterprise customers who have kind of similar third-party products on premises that do this kind of holistic kind of perspective on their environment. Do you guys integrate with some of those as well, where you're kind of sharing or exchanging data? So somebody can get a whole, if they're using a third-party product, they can, or maybe the other way around, they're using Azure Security Center, and they can, get the view from both sides without having to pick one product or the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, absolutely, and we get asked that question a lot. So there are kind of two scenarios that we see there. Some customers want to get security health information and recommendations into an existing, like a workflow management system, and then the other side of things is that customers want to get alerts and threats that are detected by Security Center into typically their security information and event management system, their SIEM, sometimes into an incident response system. But those are kind of the two main scenarios that we hear. And we've got we've got some capabilities that enable that. First is there's a REST API, which you can use to pull security recommendations or security health status. You can pull alerts using that as well. So if you wanted to integrate that information into an existing tool, you could use that the REST APIs to do that. Then for SIEM integration in particular, which is probably the number one request we get in terms of integrating data with existing systems, there is an Azure Log integration capability. It's a little client that you can install on a VM running in Azure or on-prem. And it basically communicates with our REST API to pull Security Center alerts. It formats them on this VM into a format that is read by or sort of accepted by most SIEM solutions off the shelf. So most SIEM solutions have connectors, kind of pre-built connectors that help you get different kinds of data into the SIEM solution. And so we get this data into a SIEM format, which can get picked up by these different SIEM solutions. Now that'll get Security Center alerts, but it also gets other kind of data out of Azure, which customers have found really helpful. So it also pulls raw security event logs from the VM that have been collected using Azure Diagnostics. It also gets Azure Activity Logs, used to be called Audit Logs, which are the control plane events across Azure. And it'll get those in near real time. So once you get this thing configured, it'll just, you know, again, in near real time, pipe this data from Azure into your SIEM solution.
Yeah, I guess that was going to be my question. So like people that are looking for like maybe like log retention of this data that's happening in Azure Security Center, they use this kind of solution to pull that into something where they can keep it long term, not just act on it. I mean, maybe they are using it for acting on it in real time, but also for, you know, historic purposes, being able to see what happened at what day and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, retention is definitely a scenario as well.
So one of the things, and I actually had a case on this not too long ago. So Azure, as a platform, has its own distributed denial of service protection, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't protect individual customers or tenants. It sounds like, you know, the next time, and these are always hard conversations to have as support engineers, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, this customer suffering and the platform's there, but they don't really have a solution for them. It sounds like Azure Security Center would fit really nicely into that scenario.
So inbound DDoS is not something that we're actively monitoring for today. Customers can enable that through integrated web application firewall solutions. Right. So that's the kind of recommended approach. And then, of course, their Security Center will help you, you know, deploy that and will integrate events from those solutions as well. So
right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is you guys can kind of say when someone's looking at their app, right, Security Center will call it, hey, you don't have this. Mm-hmm. And if you want it, kind of simplify that management and config process.
Exactly. And then you can, also from Security Center, you can see what partner solutions you have connected. So, again, the idea is just to give you this, this one view of security across your environment, including partner solutions.
Neat. So, I guess kind of the other question in my head. So outside of, it sounds like, kind of the one thing you want to make sure everybody knows is that the baseline is free, right? What, anything else specific that you feel like everybody tends to miss about Azure Security Center that just the thing you think everybody should know? Or is it the free part? That's the part we need to keep repeating.
Well, I mean, I definitely, that's a strong one. Just that, it's super easy to get started and begin to explore the kinds of insights that you'll get. One thing that's useful to note, kind of as an aside, is that a Security Center can know an awful lot about your environment. Because we're in Azure, we are Azure, and so we know how your network security groups are configured, and we know how your Azure SQL databases are configured. But there's some additional insight that it's helpful for us to get from inside that VM, like the event logs and OS configurations and patch status and that sort of thing. So the first time someone launches Security Center, they get a welcome screen. And if they click the launch button, that will enable data collection from within their virtual machines. They can also do that using this from within the security policy. They can turn on data collection either for subscriptions or resource groups inside that subscription. So what that does is install a lightweight monitoring agent on all existing and new virtual machines that get spun up. And again, that enables us to get that additional insight from within the virtual machine. So to get the fullest breadth of recommendations and detections, it's certainly recommended that data collection be enabled. So encourage folks to turn that on as well.
Okay.
I had a question too. So around like the view of this thing, like once we enable it in Azure, you mentioned like some ways to set up these things for like log retention and stuff, but like from a graphical view, we have some stuff in the portal. Is there any other ways? Like I heard, and I don't know if this is real, but something about Power BI, there's like some Power BI integration there. Is that possible for the dashboard?
There is, yes. That is a third way to get access to Security Center Insights. And we've got a couple of different pre-built Power BI dashboards, and they give you some interesting, enable you to do some interesting pivots on Security Center data. So, for example, one of them is designed to provide you with a view across subscriptions. So we didn't talk about this, but when you launch Security Center, you get visibility into all of the subscriptions that you have access to. And so this one Power BI dashboard kind of helps you to identify, you know, which subscriptions are most vulnerable. You know, they have the most number of outstanding recommendations or the most number of the largest number of security alerts or detections. So that's an interesting view that allows you to kind of look across subscriptions to see where you may have some, where you may want to focus first, let's say. And then there's also some views that just provide interesting pivots on recommendations and threats. On the recommendations side of things, maybe you want to see which systems are missing security updates for more than 30 days. Lots of customers patch periodically, every 3 weeks, every once a month. And so, you know, maybe they're not concerned about patches that are missing for only 3 or 4 days, but 30 days or more is important to them. Just one example. They also may want to look at, you know, which resources are being most targeted by attackers, or where in particular those attacks are coming from geographically. And so you get some interesting ways to look at Security Center data in these pre-built Power BI dashboards.
The longest I'd ever seen when I was doing SQL Server support was a year and a half with no patches. They couldn't take the downtime, and it was a little scary.
No, I mean, it's amazing how many customers still still struggle with this. And and if you think about it, it's low-hanging fruit for attackers. And so certainly at a minimum, it's good to have visibility, you know, if you do have some,
Well, I think then you can make an informed decision about what it is you're not getting versus I'm just not getting them.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, no, this is great. I mean, like I said, I'm not kidding. I made a note to myself that I have to go turn this on for my own VM. So, you know, I would. It sounds like we should all of our audience should be doing that as well. So, Kale, you any other questions for Sarah?
No, I think this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on talking about these features, and especially the fact that it's so low bar to entry. Like, it's very easy to get started with this, enable this thing, and there's actually zero cost to get started. And I think it's awesome. I think our listeners should take advantage of it, take a look at it. And like Sarah said, I would bet that most people who turn it on probably find some things that they weren't aware of. So I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Thanks. I really appreciate it as well. It was great to be on.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.